Welcome, welcome. You're listening to our podcast, Two Massage Therapists in a Microphone. My name is Mark. I'm a registered massage therapist, registered kinesiologist here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We got a real cool guest on the other side of our Zoom. She's the most important person in the world.
The greatest person
in the world, which probably also might make you the most important person, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm. What do I know? You know what? I just came back from Charlotte, North Carolina.
I know.
And I
know.
Think you would have loved that event. And I'm not just saying that because you're black.
I know.
It looked really fun, actually. It was really sweet, too, because I know the organizers personally. And then I know some of the people that were attendees. And it was like so sweet because Mark was FaceTiming me from the event. And they were like, oh, Amanda, why aren't you here? I'm like, well, guys.
I do have kids.
No, but also, aside from the obvious that I'm not a black massage therapist.
No, you're not.
So, I'm not there.
The running joke with my cousin was, you're going to get down there and they're going to be like, who's this Mexican guy? But I did have a couple of people because a lot of those folks were listening to the podcast.
A lot of them were podcast listeners.
Which was really cool. But I had a couple people on different occasions go, yo, man, I thought you were white.
It's so funny,
and
though.
They don't know.
But it's so funny. You know, when you hear someone's voice all the time, you do like put a picture in your mind of what the face looks like. And then it's kind of shocking when you meet someone. You're like, that is not what I pictured at all. So I can just imagine the shock. These guys who thought they were listening to this white guy. And then you walk in the room. They're like, what?
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
It was interesting.
Mind blow.
And it was worth the 12-hour drive. It was a really cool event, and I'm happy that they pulled off something really freaking cool, and I'm happy that this is just so inspiring for them to like, we're gonna keep building on this. So
Man. And now we're here to talk about another really fun event.
Hell yeah.
So we do have the most important person in the world, Jillian, who is the Ontario chapter president for the Canadian Sport Massage Therapists Association, and their conference is coming up in just one short month.
Niagara Falls,
like the most fun place to host a conference. And Massage Therapy Media is going to be attending the event. We're going to be doing some videos and talking to people and getting some interviews. And we're super excited about it. So we decided to have Jillian on tonight to tell us a little bit about her, about the association, about the conference. And hopefully you guys will be inspired to look into this conference because it's going to be another really fun event. And I get to come.
I've never been to one of the Canadian Sport Massage Therapists
Me either.
Associated
I'm so excited.
So I'm looking forward
well,
to
welcome,
this.
Guys. Yes, yes. Welcome.
We're super pumped.
I hope it, you know, it lives up to the hype that I want it to live up to.
I can't imagine.
And a lot of people learn a lot and network a lot. So I'm crossing my fingers.
What's the hype you're hoping for?
Amazingness. That's it.
I'll take that.
Right? Take that.
Conferences are such, they're such a fucking feel good moment.
Yeah,
I'm telling
really
you,
are.
Man, it's like you go to these things and you feel fucking buzzed for the next like 2 weeks. It's insane.
To me, it just, it like really lights the, it gets that spark back. It lights the fire back in me to want to do more things and do things better. And you meet people and it really reminds you of how much our profession has to offer and how many different things there are. And it just takes you out of that day to day being
right,
in your
just,
10 by 10
your,
room.
You're just in that bloody room by yourself. And there's so many people that do so many cool things.
Yeah.
Like you don't fully recognize until you're hanging out and you're networking and you're talking and you're sitting in class with somebody or you're learning from this instructor or whatever the case is. So many of us, you guys, not us, so many of y'all do some really cool stuff, and we love the opportunity to put it on display for everyone to check out.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
So let's start with some introductions, Miss Important, the most important person in the world, Jillian. For anyone who does not know Jillian, can you let us know a little bit about you, how long you've been practicing, how you got into the world of sport massage, and eventually becoming the Ontario chapter president for the association.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, man.
It's a lot. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I think it's really important from our standpoint that we give our members the trueness of the association and not the the color-coded part of it. Like the people need to know about the the getting in the trenches and yep. doing a whole bunch of legwork before you're able to get to the big top, mm-hmm. as we would say, and that they understand that. And if they're not ready to grind, then this is a profession that you will not do well in if you don't grind and have good people skills, number one. Two, obviously, your hands got to be good. And three, are you willing to, you know, step back and be like, you know what? I don't know everything. I can learn from somebody. And that is going to benefit me and is going to benefit the athlete.
Nice.
So I digress into that. So that's that part. About me, I've been a massage therapist for about 10 years now.
Sweet.
It feels like I've been a massage therapist for only 5, which is kind of weird.
Why only 5? Like why that number?
I don't know. That number just comes up into my head. I don't know why.
Gotcha.
It just feels that way. Like when I tell people that I've been in the business for 10 years, I'm just like, really? I've been in the business for 10 years? It doesn't feel like that. It just feels like I'm like brand new out of school, but like enough, maybe 5, like I said, 5 years.
Right.
So I never wanted to be a massage therapist in my life. Never crossed my mind. Never like didn't know when I was growing up what I wanted to do. All I wanted to do was be a professional athlete, play soccer in the States and stay in the States and do what I wanted to do down there. And like I said, massage therapy never crossed my mind. Never. Do I love it now? Absolutely. I think it's a very unique profession in that you build a relationship right away with the person and you can be with that person for the rest of their lives, and you can then see their kids or see their family members and just be part of their family. So it's one aspect of healthcare profession that we may be more unique in that term because we are spending so much time with said client and really getting to know them and what their body is saying. So I love that.
I'm going to be predictable here. Never wanted to be a massage therapist. How the hell do you get into massage therapy? Like, how did that even happen?
Okay. So I always tell this story, and it's a very unique story. So I was literally driving down the highway, and my car literally stopped on the highway. And I was like, okay, this is very interesting. To make a long story short, I had to pay out a lot of money just to get my car fixed. And at that time, I was working as a technical director in the soccer world, and it didn't cover what I needed, but I had the money. So I said to myself, it looks like I need to get into the real world and find a career and do something. So at that time, I was playing indoor soccer with a couple of my friends, and they were massage therapists as well. So they were like, well, why don't you go ahead, you know, think about this, think about that. And I was like, meh, I don't want to get into the real world. I don't want to do this.
the real world.
All of this would probably make me want to become either a tow truck driver or a mechanic.
Right. So that was previous before the thing that happened. So they said that, and I was like, meh. And then the good Lord did what the good Lord did. And I had to be like, okay, well, what am I going to do to have a little bit of financial stability so I can do, like, if this ever happened again, I would have enough money to be able to do that, to fix the vehicle and so on and so forth. So I did some research on massage therapy schools, and I made an appointment with a school at Everett College down in Mississauga, and then right then and there, I just signed up.
Done deal.
And then done deal.
You know what's really wild to me? Like, a lot of athletes do end up getting into this profession. A lot of times it's because, you know, they themselves had to be a patient because of injuries or whatever, or even just for taking care of their bodies because they're athletes. But in your case, you had teammates saying to you, oh, just do this. Like, as massage therapists themselves, they knew what they were throwing you into. They knew this wasn't like an easy peasy type of thing. did they prepare you at all? Like you said, you walked into the college, you signed up that day. Did you know what you were signing up for? Did you realize?
Maybe she thought it was easy peasy though.
And it might've been for her, but did you know what you were going into? Had you like really looked into it, or was it like, this looks good?
I did my research. I really, you know, did my research about where I want to go, what the program would entail, the courses and so on and so forth. And when I was in college, I would be like the one for the teammates. Do you need a massage? So it wasn't even in my brain like to be a massage therapist, even though I was massaging people. And they were like, wow, you're really good at this. Or you know what? You need to loosen up on the pressure. Or you know what? I feel really good. So that just happened. And I did that and didn't even think about anything about that. And then to answer your question, did I think it was going to, or did they prepare me for that? Heck no, I was fine.
Good for you. I always have people that come in and they, I mean, I, like you, I had no intent on being a massage therapist. And I really thought the program was going to be so much easier than it was. And when I got into school, I was like, oh no, this is real. Like I got to put some effort in here. Okay. I really got to do some work. I was one of those people that we've met many of them in here that thought, this is going to be so easy. And I was shocked when it wasn't just a walk in the park.
Yeah, I didn't have a framework because I've never gotten massage before I went to massage school. Like when I was with when I was in college and with provincial teams, we didn't have a massage therapist. Like we had somebody there for athletic therapy and they may like massage your thigh and so on and so forth,
right.
But not in depth as to what sport massage is today. So I didn't have a framework of what it entails to be a massage therapist. Therefore, I was like, I can do this. I don't have no problem with this because I do have the athletic background. So I kind of know what is, you know, from a body wise, what is expected, but from a hands wise, I was just like, okay, well, we'll see how this goes. If I do well, then yeah.
Do you think that it's more freeing not knowing? Do you know what I mean? Like you have no preconceived notion about what massage therapy is. And therefore to you, it's just, it's open season, it's freedom versus someone else that rolls in already thinking like, this is the type of work that it is. This is what the life is, blah, 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 blah.
I think that applies to almost anything. I think having
ignorance is bliss.
Having no
expectation.
No, not ignorance is bliss.
I'm just asking.
But having little to no expectations and having an open mind in anything you do in life, I think just makes the experience all that much better because you really are just taking it for what it is and taking it in the moment, not expecting certain things and then either feeling disappointment or whatever other emotions come up if things are not meeting your expectations.
So there's a couple of ways that I look at this. One, if you go into anything and you're a clean slate, then it's a little bit freeing, but then you're also setting yourself up to make a lot of errors that the people before you had made, and you just have to learn that on the job type of scenario. Versus if you go in there well schooled, learn all the rules, because when you learn the rules, then you know which ones you can break, which ones you can't, which ones you shouldn't, which ones you should keep.
I knew that was coming. I knew that was coming.
So it's a couple different ways to thinking about it, right? A couple different ways. One is a lot of errors.
Yeah, fair. I just went in thinking that, you know what, I need to find a career. Basically, that's what I went in.
Yeah.
Right. And when I got the email that I passed all my stuff, I was like, okay, let me read this email one more time to make sure I'm reading what I'm like, it's saying. So that means I am a professional now in terms of that. So that means I could potentially get a job and potentially have a career. So I was like, okay, well, you know what? Let's go ahead. I did it. And that's, and we're 10 years in, and it's been, I would say, just the type of person that I am. It's been very rewarding in the sense that you do have that one-on-one relationship with somebody throughout their lifetime, and you can literally change them within 30 to 45 or an hour session. So like that's like one of the most rewarding things for me is that you don't know them when they walk through the door, but you have the ability to change what they may be feeling when they leave the door.
Yeah.
So in the 10 years that feels like five, has it always been sports for you?
So the way I think and the way I treat is always sport related. So I always see the person as potentially being something better than what they are.
Gotcha.
So I will look at them and be like, okay, so you're not moving, like something's not right in my eye and I'm not seeing something right. So let's see, let's try this to see if you move better and if you feel better, right? And if it does, then you need to continue to do that. So I look at them as an athlete. I'm not like a grand scheme athlete, but I look at them as an athlete and be like, okay, we have some work to do. And if you don't want to do the work, yeah, I can see you, but I'm going to let you know that this is what it takes for you to feel better. And if you want to feel better, you got to do it. Mm. And so on and so forth.
So you've always had that as your brand. You were the therapist that always treated everybody as an athlete. I like that actually. When many, many years ago, like probably 15 years ago or so, when I started using affirmations, I remember this was sort of a joke, but it actually became real. It was during a period of my life where like I used to be very, very athletic. And then, you know, I kind of went through a period where I wasn't really working out as much. I stopped running. I had a knee injury. I stopped doing, like, I just became much more sedentary. And then one day decided like, this isn't me. I want to get back into being an athletic person and working out and all of this. And because this is around the same time that I started working with affirmations, I just started telling people like, yeah, I'm an athlete. And all of my students, it became like the running joke because I was teaching at a massage college by this point, or I was supervising the student clinic. And anything I did, they would say like, oh, Amanda, can you come help with this? I'm like, I can do anything. I'm an athlete.
Right. So I always see the potential in the person, even though they may not see it at that particular point. And then I work with that and I foster a belief that they can do it. And then we go through that whole process. You know what? Yeah, you can do it 100%. Why wouldn't you be able to do it? And then they'll be like, well, okay, well, I can't do this. Well, we can fix this, this, and this, and let's go.
Do you apply the athlete mindset into all aspects of your life or just your professional life?
I think it's like, I know for me, for an athlete, yeah, I have to take care of myself and do whatever I need to do. But yeah, I see the world like that. Mm. Like, you need to get a job done, like get it done. Like, there's no excuses. There's no nothing. If there is a block, then let's find a way that we can get you what you need. And let's get you on the path to whatever healing you need, whether it is from the physical standpoint or whether it's from an emotional, mental standpoint, because for us, we are hearing everything about said patient. Mm. And, you know, whether we're just giving them space to divulge said information or be like, you know what, I think this or I think that could potentially help you because you're obviously here for a reason.
Do you put in 100% effort into everything that you do? Because I would imagine you as an athlete would. I imagine you as an athlete would put 100% effort into training, would have put 100% effort into competition, would have put 100% effort into your body, into nutrition, blah, 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 blah. Do you put 100% effort into everything?
I would say no, not at the moment right now. No, I wouldn't because, you know, I do have an injury that I need to take care of and so on. And so I put that on the back burner. But I know that it needs to get done for me to be able to achieve what I want to achieve in the next couple of years. Mm. So there are, like, this year has a little bit, you know, had a little bit of a stumble, which is what athletes do. You have a little bit of a stumble, you have an injury, it sets you back for a little bit. But does it leave you on the ground? No, you get up on your horse and you figure out how you're going to be able to achieve what you need to achieve. Has it taken me a little bit longer? Absolutely, because that's just the type of person I am. I think I'm a tortoise. I just take a little bit longer than maybe the average person to kind of do some stuff. Mm. But at the end of the day, it gets done. And I'm able to understand the process and what my body is saying and who needs to help me. And then how I can use my experience to help somebody else.
The athlete mindset is very interesting to me. It blows me away, because there's a certain way of looking at the world that I think is highly valuable. And I think a lot of people should look at the world in that way, right? The athlete mindset, to me, there's not a lot of slacking going on, right?
No.
There is a lot of dedication and commitment.
Yeah.
There is a way to look at losses and not getting things go your way, but spinning that into a very positive way. Like, I can't remember. I was watching. It was either TikTok or Instagram, and some basketball player was getting interviewed, and basically they were asking about their loss. The reporter, and the reporter really framed the loss in a very negative kind of way. And the response,
you're talking about Giannis, right?
Yes, and the response was really, really cool. The response was, "Listen, what do you mean by this? Like, what are you getting at? Like, Michael Jordan played for 15 years and won 6 championships. Are you saying he's a loser because he lost 9 of them?
Yeah.
Like, do you see what I'm saying? Are you saying that takes away from his from his ability as a basketball player, or how the world should think of him from as a basketball player? It's that type of mindset. It's so cool to me. And I was watching, because Arnold Schwarzenegger's got a book that just came out. So he's doing all these shows and everything else, doing all these interviews. And he's an interesting cat, man, because he's got that hunger. It's insane to me. From a little poor kid in Austria, and he's like, I want to go to America. And this is all he's got in his freaking mind. I want to go to America. America is the land of opportunity. I want to go there. And for him to carve out the life that he's carved out, it's insane. And when you see him in interview and you hear parts of his book or read parts of his book or the audiobook, whatever the case is, he's out there in your face, because he's passionate about the way he thinks about the world, but he's also really freaking humble. And he's also like, I take the opportunity to learn from everybody whenever I get the chance, and I can recognize where I have faults and where I need to improve. And I will latch on to anybody that can help me with that, and I will help you along the way. It's crazy to me.
That to me is a part of the mental toughness that comes with athletes too, is not shying away from criticism, like there's no ego really. Like they want to improve all the time. So it's okay if you're not the best in the room. It's okay to learn from other people.
Like I'll give you the example. He does a competition. He loses. He loses his competition to Frank Zane. Cool. Schwarzenegger is just a bigger man. But Frank Zane was older. He was more mature. He was a little bit more chiseled. But Arnold had more of like the rough cut. And all he needs is some refinement. And he loses. He comes second place to Frank Zane. He goes to Frank Zane. He says, listen, I want you to help me. I want what you do. Can you teach me the way to do this? And they both come up and they agree, okay, I'll help you. And here's the stipulation. You just don't compete against me. Right, I'll help you get where you need to go, but if I'm in a competition, I want you to not be at that competition, that type of thing. And Frank Zane was living in, I think, Florida at the time. Schwarzenegger just got a place in LA, and he and Frank Zane wanted to start going to LA and start training. And Schwarzenegger's like, "Hey, you and your wife, why don't you come to my house, live with me, see if you like it here? We'll train together and work together. You win, I win, everyone wins." I'm like, I know so many people that would never even think of these things, because they have just such a hard-ass way about them, and a really strange way of looking at the world. It's really weird to me. But that athlete mindset, that's something special, man.
It's something. Jillian, you said right from the get-go that you treated in a way that was consistent with basically viewing everybody as athletes.
Sorry.
Yes, Mark.
So I'm going to forget, because I don't want to get off the athlete mindset for 1 second. I want to know then, because you already hinted at the beginning of this episode that if you want to become a sport fellow, which is the title used by the Canadian Sport Massage Therapists Association, if you want to become a sport fellow, there's a ton of work you got to do. And if you don't want to put in the time and the effort to do this work, this ain't for you.
Right.
What do you think of the slacker here? And I'll just use the term loosely, just because I can't think of a better way to describe it now. Someone that wants to get in there, tries to get in there, realizes there's way work in this, and then not even just bows out, but bows out with a fucking complaint about the whole process.
So this is where it comes back, where for me, being in this position, I'm painting a complete picture. Because I think in the past, we have said, you know what, when you become a member, the goal is to go to the Olympics and so on and so forth, right? So yes, however, nobody's going to the Olympics once you become a sport, once you become a candidate member. Mm-hmm. Nobody's doing that,
right?
So I think when I got in here, and it was really apparent when I went to I did a presentation at a said school, and they were asking me questions that caught me off guard, literally caught me off guard. And I was like, oh my goodness, these guys really don't understand the hard work that needs to go in to be able to get what they wanted. And right then and there, I was like, okay, Jillian, if you ever do school visits, or if you ever talk to anybody, if you're ever doing advanced sports massage course, you are the person that grounds everybody a little bit, right? Because everybody, oh my God, I'm going to this, I'm going to the Olympics, I want it. And then they realize, wait a second. I am not going to be able to go to these things unless I have the skill set first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the chapter or the associate actually knows who you are, right? And three, are you putting in the work? You've got to put in the work. And when you put in the work, then obviously you continue to learn, you meet new people, those people have connections to other people. And then you may find yourself in a situation, be like, you know what? Oh my goodness, I'm working with this team. Never thought I would be working with this team, but so-and-so said I was good, blah, blah, blah. So now I'm working with this, or I'm working with this event. So that's why I make it my point to tell you guys, it is a thankless job at some point, right? Because you are putting a lot of work in, but the end result is that you will eventually get to where you need to get to. And then you pass on that information to the next person that's coming under you.
I'm really glad you're doing that, Jillian. I'm glad that you are keeping it real. I do want to get back to your story, but actually I want to continue with this for a second, because we've had a couple of people on different episodes, one who is actually part of the association, one who I don't think is, but these two women actually put it I'm talking about Danielle and Lindsay. Gotcha. These two women actually put it very, very well. And you kind of just touched on this as well. It's people, they hear of, you know, being a part of the Sport Massage Association and going to the Olympics and doing major games and blah, 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 blah. They hear all these things and it sounds really exciting and glamorous. And both Danielle and Lindsay have done what you're doing right now, Jillian, and let people know, like, it's not just that you suddenly are working with professional athletes. Exactly. Like, that's not the way this goes. And both of them talked about not just that you have to put in work, but you know how you just said it, people you know and networking, because we have heard of other people kind of almost eye rolling at that idea, like, oh, it's people you know, but it's people you know because you're working. Danielle and Lindsay took every freaking opportunity they had. You are doing a ton of volunteer work. I mean, Mark shouts this from mountaintops all the time. Like, if you want to get yourself known, regardless if you're in sport therapy or anything else, if you want people to know who you are, you have to accept every opportunity. Not every opportunity is going to be a paid opportunity. Say yes to things, because these things open doors, you meet people, you network, and suddenly you are standing in front of the big cat that is one day going to remember, I met this person at this event, I liked them, let's see about bringing them to something. So it's not just work, as in, like, you go and you're, you know, massaging people all day and not getting paid. There's that part of the thankless job, but it's more so about going to anything that you're invited to, taking up the opportunities, the volunteer opportunities, and making sure that your name and your face are known and you are involved with the whole sport world. If you're not, you're going to get looked right over. And like I said, I've seen the eye rolls from people who just think that they can jump in and, oh, I'm really good. You might be really good, but nobody knows.
Is that someone that doesn't want to pay their dues? And yes, there's two parts of it. One, the networking and making the connections and everything else. But the other part of it is just paying your fucking dues.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do the young kids not know about paying dues anymore? Is that what we're saying here?
I don't think they know what dues are. It's like Bitcoin or something, you know? So it's like,
I blame American Idol.
They want, like, I'll be straight up honest with you. When I went to that school visit, the first thing that came out, wait a minute, I don't get paid? It's like, okay.
They're really living up to the stereotypes, man. All I ever hear is that young people these days, and I hate to shit on young people because some of you are probably really fucking fantastic. Oh,
if you're a hungry young kid, the world is yours.
Exactly. The world is yours.
Nobody in your age group wants to do that.
I'm constantly hearing that, and I'm thinking, can that really be true? Is it really true? Are we overgeneralizing? But it seems like there are a lot of people who I think they feel defeated. And, you know, I don't want to get too off topic. We're not going to get into a whole talk about like socioeconomics and stuff. But I think people feel defeated these days because they're hearing all of us adults out in the workforce about how like the pay sucks and everything's so expensive and this and that and whatever. And like young kids are deciding like, we're not going to stand for this. We're going to get paid what we're worth and blah, blah, blah. And it's like the idea of actually paying your dues and climbing a ladder has gone out the window.
If you have that mentality, then like, don't fucking cry when the world rolls over you. The world will roll over you.
But they will cry.
Cry. But the world will roll right over you.
But I feel like a lot of, and obviously our generation is very different, that I feel like they think their skills are the best thing since sliced bread. They don't have to put their hand on anybody. I'm just telling you I'm really good. So therefore, you need to give me what I'm telling you.
Well, that's a big part of paying your dues, is getting those 10,000 hours in, right? That make you that skilled professional.
Yeah.
Right? That's how you get those skills. You have no idea what it's like to work with a team unless you're working with a team. Being in the hierarchy, like understanding the hierarchy of how, you know, how a medical team works with and knowing your role. You don't know that until you start doing these things. That's how you get the knowledge and your 10,000 hours to have the skill to do so. But what do I know?
Well, I won't shit on the young kids anymore. Let's talk more about you, Jillian. I wanted to ask.
Young kids, don't say no to opportunities.
Don't. Honestly, don't.
Say yes to everything. Even if you don't know what you're doing, say yes and then go figure it out.
That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
That's too hard.
That's too hard. What I wanted to ask about your career path, Jillian, is like you said, you know, right from the beginning, you had this brand of being like somebody who looks at everybody as an athlete. But did you know right from being in massage school that you were going to, like, did you join the CSMTA as a student? How did you get so involved in sport therapy officially?
So my cousin, she was, well, she's a massage therapist as well, and she's a sports candidate member. And she was like, hey, Jillian, there's this course. Do you want to take this course? And I was like, okay, whatever, because I didn't know what the course was. And I was just like, okay, well, I'm doing a course with my cousin. Why not? And it ended up being the sport massage course. And so I took the course and I was like, ooh, okay, because my thinking when I'm working with massage, I want to work with said athletes because I know the brain of an athlete and I know how our profession can help athletes now. Because when I was an athlete, we didn't have the massage therapist as part of our medical team or have access to that on a regular basis. So when I took the course, I was like, okay, yes, I can now see myself helping out other athletes in the aspect of massage, but also in my personal experience with being an athlete, going to the States, being part of the national team and all that kind of business, what it took to be this, like having injuries. So there's a little bit of like, once I know it's an athlete, you become like best friends right away because we have that connection based on just being an athlete. So we know what needs to get done. So I took the course, and then Lindsay and I went to another course that had the AGM there. And then that's when both Lindsay and I became a part of the association. I was the secretary at the time. And then I can't remember what Lindsay was doing at the time there. But so that's how I got my in. So I was the secretary for I don't even know how many years. And then somebody said to me, Jillian, why don't you just go and be the president? I was like, okay, whatever. Like, let's just go do this. Okay. Like, sure. You know.
I'm now really recognizing something about your personality. Not only will you put 100%, you've got the mind of an athlete. If someone says, Jillian, I think you should do this. You're like, yeah, right. I could do anything. It's fine. You know, I want you to read our email thread later, Mark. I sent her an email. Like, Jillian and I have met, what, once in person and then once via Zoom. Mm. And I sent her an email. I was like, hey, Jillian, you want to do a podcast on Thursday night? She's like, yeah, okay. Like, that's literally how this happened.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you the story for that, but I'll finish off my story. But, like, so Lindsay and I, we did that. So I really got to see how the association was working and how, you know, I can end up working with athletes and help them in their journey or what have you. And then, you know, you see the ups and downs of the association. And then I was thinking to myself, because when I took the course, I felt very alone after the course. I didn't have like a mentor. I didn't know. And I'll be honest, I was totally scared to go and do anything. And I wasn't trusting my hands. And I didn't know. I felt like I was going to hurt somebody and so on and so forth. So I didn't do anything for about 3 years. I really didn't do anything. And then I don't know what happened. Something happened and switched in my mind. I was like, okay, Jillian, you can do this. It's probably those 3 years of experience that I've had, like, right, underneath my belt.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, Jillian, yeah, you can do this. And then from there, I've been doing events, I've been working with Cycling Canada, Ontario Cycling. I did with Canada Rugby for a little bit. I do, like, you know, Ride to Conquer Cancer. So, like, all these different events that that we have access to. And then I just had an epiphany. I was like, dude, Jillian, you're not going to hurt somebody. Mm. And two, this is the techniques that you're learning is nothing new under the sun. It's just how to perform them at the different times in the event. And three, you get to work with athletes. So what's the problem here? So, am I a little bit scared about some things? Absolutely. I'm human. There's some things that I'm kind of push off about, but, like, I know now that if I want to get where I need to get, I actually need to do the things that make me scared a little bit. And then probably while going through that process, I'll be like, yo, Jillian, you're totally fine. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just like any other person. You just have these things and you put a story through your head and da 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 da. But at the end of the day, you could do it. Hmm. So that is that process, how I became and got into the CSMTA. And moving forward, I don't want to have the current members experience what I experience in terms of being alone after the course, if that makes sense. So totally. I want to, you know, keep them involved, get them a little bit of mentorship so that when they're going to events, it's like, okay, let's say if I was a supervisor or whatever, hey, Jillian, what do you think about this? Oh, you're doing great. Okay. Or try this a little bit differently this way. Okay, you know what? You did the wrong technique at the wrong time, but you didn't hurt anybody, so you're totally fine. Moving forward, let's do this. So my plan is to really give those members that want it, that's a key one, those members that want it, to be able to go out into the world and be like, yeah, I can knock this out really quickly. I know what I'm doing. I don't feel alone. I have the backbone of the association and the people that are volunteering to help me out if I need anything, and create a little bit more, in my mind, a little bit more value, right, for the association. And then people be like, okay, you know what? They're doing this for me. Hopefully I'm going to do this for them.
You haven't even gotten into talking about the conference yet, but that whole speech just made me want to go to the conference, because that's exactly... anytime I've ever talked to a sport therapist, like you just described what I have always felt like I would be feeling if I was in that position. Like, I mean, I have a degree in kinesiology. I've worked with some athletes before. It's not like I have no idea what I'm doing. I've been a massage therapist for going on 14 years. Like, I'm not clueless, but knowing that, you know, being on a medical team and working with professional athletes and that kind of thing, like, I can see how that could be very nerve-wracking. And having somebody like you, who's now, you know, you've been in this profession for a long time, and having you as the Ontario chapter president, and knowing that your one of your goals is to provide a supportive space for sport therapists to better themselves. Like, you're not looking to be competitive with each other. You want everybody to be really great and confident and ultimately to be able to provide really good care for the athlete.
Yeah. Cause I don't want them to experience what I did, what I did with the course, and nothing against the association, but I personally think there was a gap. Right. Mm-hmm. From the course. And then, okay, what do I do next type of thing? And I just want to close that gap so that people are like, yo, okay, yeah, I'm getting on this. I'm doing this. I feel good about this. I'm not scared about that. Well, you know, people will be scared and so on and so forth.
Of course they will. But I think it's a brilliant idea to either, you know, have like mentors or, you know, further events and conferences and things to, you know, make sure that the therapists that are going to be going out and working like on the field, they feel confident enough in their own hands and their abilities and their techniques that they can take care of the athletes. And like you said, you know, there's going to be some times where maybe they do something and you're like, all right, you didn't hurt anybody, but let's see how we can make this better. So I think that's great. Mark, are you Googling things? Are you looking at the conference?
No, I'm looking specifically for something that I saw someone post on Facebook somewhere. And it was pretty much rhyming through, because you know these cats do this. They wanna shut down everything and say, like, this doesn't matter, this doesn't matter, this doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And it was a post that had all these different types of massage. And one of them was and then what the real definition of it is. And then one of them was like sport massage. Just like a regular massage but faster. And I was like, What? And then so many people chimed in on that, because and it had a list of a whole bunch of massage different types of massage. And I'm trying to find it here, because I also saw on Facebook or Instagram or something that someone posted from a sport massage therapist course biomechanics of running. Like, they were learning the biomechanics of sprinting. And I was like, whoever had that fucking meme that's like sport massage, oh, just a regular massage techniques but faster. I'm like, you have no idea. You have no clue. You're sitting on the outside, you know, dropping down those types of comments like that with no inside knowledge. It's such a weird go. And I'm trying the hell to find it, because it was really interesting.
So like, if we're doing grassroots stuff, like, you may be the only medical person that a team may have, and the specific sport that you are working with, you need to know the biomechanics, the mechanics of said sport. Like, if there's equipment, you need to know that, right? Because they're going to come to you and be like, you know what, my helmet is not working, can you fix that? So you're not just there to provide massage, right? You're there to provide everything if you're that only person, right? So the in-depth thinking as a sport massage, well, I can't be called that. We can't call each other that, candidate member is that you really need to know the sport, right? Because they're going to come to you and be like, okay, well, how come you're with this and you don't understand this, or you don't understand the flexibility? So, because let's say you're working with rhythmic gymnastics, you're not putting them in the gym. Yep. You're not making them go do 20 million squats. No, they're doing repetitive contorting movements. Like, you're not going to put them into situations where they're already flexible, because they've got that. So you have to understand the sport to be able to relate your skills to said sport.
Mm-hmm.
So,
fuck, I wish I can find this, because it was one of those posts where it's like, reflexology. Well, that's a really good foot massage. Cranial sacral. That might be good for getting rid of a headache. Really good head massage. Like, it was one of those. Sport massage. Just regular techniques, but a little faster. I found it kind of insulting, especially the people that were commenting, when I took a look at it, they were like, none of these cats are involved in the sport world at all. Like, they're
exactly.
And they're speaking on it like they know, like they're in the know. Yeah.
It's very interesting to me when people do put up things like that, because who is this helpful for?
I don't know.
If you're not involved in reflexology or sport massage or cranial sacral therapy or osteopathy or whatever it is that you're shitting on at the moment, if you're not involved in it, why even speak on it? Like, who are you talking to? The people who do these sorts of things, like, let's take something that gets shit on all the time. Let's take cranial sacral therapy or reflexology.
Sure.
Like, those two modalities you might not know anything about. Or maybe you've had it done before, and I mean, I hear people say things like, oh, well, they make claims that aren't supported by research. Okay, fine, maybe. But if you haven't studied these things really in depth, what is the purpose? Like, who are these people harming? If it doesn't align with what you feel makes sense for you as a patient, like if you don't want to get reflexology, you don't want to get, then don't. What is the point on shitting on somebody else's profession? Somebody who's put hours of work into becoming really good at what they do, and they serve a purpose. There are people who go to see them. There are clients who swear by reflexology, who swear by cranial sacral therapy. Let these people live.
You want to shit on something, go ahead, open up your butt and shit all over it, right? That's my thing. Just, you want to
really
do that.
Wish you hadn't said it like that. I feel like we didn't need that.
You want to shit on something.
Make a shirt out of that.
You want to shit on something, go ahead and do that. But please preface this with, this is my opinion, and I don't really have anything that backs this opinion, but this is my opinion. You're entitled to an opinion. You're entitled to say whatever you want, but also be transparent about it. I don't know much about sport massage, because I've never taken a course, I've never seen it done, I've never spoken to athletes who get it on the regular, but this is my opinion on it. Take it or leave it. This is my thoughts on it, coming from this lack of knowledge in this thing. That's cool then. But don't come off like this is proper. This is the way it is. I'm like, you don't fucking know. You don't know whoever posts that. Like, you haven't worked with an athlete. You don't work with teams. Blah, 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 blah. That type of thing. It was really interesting. I think someone actually chimed in. No, actually, you learn this, 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 and this, this, this in some of these courses. And that person responded. I'm pretty sure they responded like, oh, I didn't know it went in that depth and that type of thing. I'm like, well, you didn't fucking know.
You didn't know, but so you were very quick to put up a very insulting meme.
I ask this, I'll ask this to you the same way I asked this to Ed Ratz when he was on the couch. Because when you were talking about, you know, you didn't feel comfortable, you didn't feel like you knew what you're doing, and then you kind of shied away from it. Have you ever done something where you've been blamed for someone's poor performance?
No.
Interesting. Is that ever a concern for you?
Always in the back of my mind. Yeah. Like, at the end of the day, you're there to help, right? You're there to help, right? And a lot of the time, when you're dealing with an athlete, you don't see them as a human, I think, right? And then once you realize they're a human, they're like, okay, you know what? You're just like you and me. You just have a different path. You're doing something. You're becoming an elite person. You have more skill in this than said me. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you are a human. So I make mistakes, right? And less is more when dealing with the athlete. And if you don't know something, be like, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't know said thing. I'm not going to do it on you. And if this is new to you, I am not going to do it on to you either, because it could potentially hamper something.
Right. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be an increased amount of pressure there. Like, if I fuck something up in my job, what I do right here, the numbers of people that are directly affected are small in number.
Right.
Right? Versus when you're working with someone who's on a team, and then are you affecting their ability to perform at maximum levels? That type of thing. That seems like a hell of a lot of pressure. That seems like a stress situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. But when you are taking the course, you understand the type of massage that you're doing for pre, inter, and post, right? So once you understand that and the techniques that are used, technically, there's no way that you can possibly mess something up unless you are not, like, number one, you need to listen to their body.
Right.
Right. And number two, you might just be invisible in the grand scheme of things because they might be during a competition and you need to, you know, obviously they're coming in for pre and you're invisible to them. Mm-hmm. You're there to do your stuff and then you leave because you don't want to hamper their mental state as well.
Right.
Along with their physical. So you really have to, one, know your place and really just read what the athlete's body language is telling you and what they say to you and have that little dance of what's good, like how I can help you there, or I need to step back a little bit. So there's really, like I said, a dance for you to understand the athlete and to understand what you can and can't do.
Right. And as I was asking that question, or if I did form it as a question, as I was asking that question, I kind of answered some parts of it to myself. Someone who's getting involved in doing this type of work probably likes those pressure situations. You probably enjoy that idea of like, what I'm doing here, there's a little bit of significance to it. And I got to kind of nail this in order for things to run as smooth as we're hoping them to go. And you enjoy that pressure possibly. And if you don't enjoy that pressure, then maybe you don't like that job.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it, you like to see the athlete do well. And then you'd be like, you know what? I had a little piece, right, a very little piece into that success of that said athlete, whether they're 10 years old, mm-hmm, working mm-hmm. with the 10, 11 year olds, because you know what, they might, you know what, my leg is feeling really good. It's never felt like this before. And I scored my first goal. Mm-hmm. So you're like right on. Or it's the intermittent athlete, like the 16, 17, 18 one. And you know what, they've been having this problem for so long, and you know, they hadn't had massage before and they've gotten massage, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, this has really helped me, and I'm gonna, you know, continue to have it part of my life. And then you have the leaders that are like, yo, we need this.
So when you wear that hat of I had, and you get that sensation of I had a small part in this, right? Whether it's invisible or not. Do you also wear that same hat when things don't really go off in a successful way? Do you also wear that, I had a small part in that too?
I think it comes with the situation. Mm. Like, I think it comes with it, right? But at the end of the day, at the end of the day, you got to look at yourself and be like, okay, what was it that I did that caused this athlete to not qualify or not whatever? Right. It's like, can be a small piece. Like, we don't know the whole, mm-hmm, the whole gambit of their prep before it, right? Or after it, but you're always going to be like, man, was it me? Was it me? Was it me? Like, was it, did I do it? Like, they came and saw me the last, like, I was the last person they saw, and so on and so forth, right? And I don't think the athlete will come to you and say, you know what, it was you.
Right.
Because there's a whole bunch of other things that could have gone wrong. Like, they were sick. Something happened with their family, didn't have their shoes, like all these other things that kind of happen, but you are the last person to see them. And they're like, well, that, you know,
how long does that sit with you? The, was it me? Was it me? Does that sit with you for a while? Or does that disappear pretty fast?
To be honest, I haven't had one of those situations yet. So I couldn't tell you. Probably knowing me, I'd be like, yo, this sucks.
Yeah. You'd wallow in that for a little bit, eh?
A little bit.
I can imagine that I would be exactly the same. Don't you remember the whole scenario we had? We actually had one of my clients come on the podcast because she's an athlete. She's a basketball player. And she came to see me for treatment one day. And this was a Monday. She came to see me on a Monday afternoon. And she had gone to two weddings that weekend. And she's a very, very tall person and never wears high heels and was wearing high heels at both weddings. So I'm treating her and I'm working on her gastrocs. And I'm like, I've never felt your legs like this. And I don't feel good about them. Like I've never felt. And she was like, oh, just because I was dancing in high heels. I'm like, no, I understand. But you're supposed to go to practice tonight. This feels really, really tight. Like, I was telling her it feels really, really tight. And so we were working on, anyway, moral of the story is her mom called me from the ER that night. She ruptured her Achilles.
Yep.
And I was beating myself up for about 3 weeks. Meanwhile, I've got her mother telling me, like, you did nothing wrong. I've got her telling me, you warned me, you did nothing wrong. But for like 3 weeks, I was like, I fucking treated her that day. And I knew that something didn't feel right. And then she went to practice and ruptured her Achilles. And I basically blamed myself for the better part of a month.
Yeah. But I think that's human too, right? Because you don't want to hurt somebody. Right. And then those things happen, which is a part of life. But then but the thing is that with being with teams or working with athletes, you got a next one coming on your table.
Yeah.
So you kind of like need to put it aside a little bit and
you
be like,
Taylor Swift, that you got to shake it off.
Shake it off.
Right. Let me gather myself, work with this next athlete. Keep that in mind of what I did and really just focus on them, because at the end of the day, it is about them. And then when you're done and everything, okay, go wallow in your sheets and, you know, talk to somebody, talk to a mentor and be like, yo, I just feel like this right now. Mm. And mentor will probably say, yo, you know what? I was in the same boat. This is nothing new under the sun, right? Mm. These things will happen. It's about you. Okay. What did you learn? How can we move forward with this? How can we improve said situation if it becomes situational or whatever? And just maybe reflect and be like, okay, all right, I'm okay. I'm totally okay. I'm fine. I'm a human. These things happen. Let's move on.
So before we talk about the conference, there's one thing that I do want to ask, and you did bring it up, about the title that's used now, sport fellow versus sport massage therapist.
Yeah, any non-Canadians will have no idea what we're talking about right now.
So, right. Because I'm honestly, I'm a little confused by it.
Yeah.
I'm confused by, so the way I understand the story to be is you guys have been using, the Canadian Sport Massage Therapist Association has been using the title sport massage therapist for a long time. And someone, before they become a full-on member, they're a certificate candidate before they become a certified sport massage therapist. That was the former term, if I understand it correctly. Yeah. And then recently, the College of Massage Therapists of Ontario says you can't use the words massage therapy because that's a protected title, and therefore your members cannot use this term. And you know, this is where I'm confused by it. Your members are massage therapists.
I know, this blows my fucking mind.
I don't understand the logic here. Your members are members of the College of Massage Therapists in Ontario, if they're from Ontario, and they're using the title sport massage therapist, but then the college is saying you can't use the term massage therapist because it's a protected title. Well, the only fucking people that are using that in Ontario as part of the Sport Massage Therapist Association would have been licensed massage therapists.
To me, it just made so much sense. To me, it just made so much sense the way it was, because it was a distinct for us people to know, like, you, Jillian, have taken the additional training, you know, you took the course, you practice sport massage, versus me that doesn't do that. So, like, to me, it made so much sense.
So I get it from a college standpoint, where they're like, you can't specialize, you can't say you specialize, you can't do this, and then maybe saying your sport massage therapist has the appearance of a specialty. But nonetheless, the way they approached it, at least the way I understand it, is massage therapist is a protected title in Ontario. You can't use it, but the only people that were fucking using it were massage therapists as members of your association. So to me, it didn't make sense. Can you make it make sense to me?
I can't make it make sense either. So we're in the same boat. Gotcha. Like, I'm not versed in all of the bylaws and the lingo and all of that. That is not me. I can understand both sides of it for sure.
When you guys get approached with this, is there any, like, what the hell? Like, we don't want to change our title. Or is it, okay, let's just, that's what they say, let's just do it.
No, well, there was some pushback, like, for sure. Because remember, this is across all of, Canada.
It's national, right?
Right. So, so other provinces don't have the, like, titled rights of massage therapist. So only Ontario has that, right? So across the other provinces, it was like, what are you guys doing? Like, why are we making this a national thing when our province does not do that? So from that standpoint, there was a little bit of pushback. And at the end of the day, from the CMTO standpoint, we don't want to lose our stuff.
Right,
so it got changed. changed. And I don't know all of the ins and outs of that. There's a better person to talk to you about that, but that's definitely not me.
I just don't even understand the logic to it, because the only, like I said, the only people that would be using the title sport massage therapist would be members of your association. And if you're a member of that association, you also hold the title registered massage therapist, which entitles you to use the term massage therapist. Like, it really just a really kind of roundabout circular thing that I just was like,
and
I don't
even
get
when
it.
And even when it comes to not specializing, I get what you were saying, but if you're a member of both associations, that could be argued. You're not actually saying you specialize in anything. It's just that's the proper way
that's
to say
designation
it.
You
are
the association.
You are a member of the association and you're registered with the college. So I don't see I don't see why it had to change. But I mean, I guess none of us do.
All right, let's talk this conference then.
Yeah. So, yeah. Jillian, information. When is the conference happening? Can you tell us a little bit about it? Who we might see? What types of topics are going to be covered? And is this conference open to therapists that are not CSMTA members?
So yes, yes, and yes.
Okay. Tell me everything.
Okay. So the conference is November 17th to the 19th. And it's going to be in Niagara Falls at the Marriott on the Falls.
Oh, fancy.
Yes, it's very fancy. So this year, we wanted to do something way out of the box from conferences that I've been before. And I've seen conferences that we have put on.
Right.
So I wanted it to really be something of, you know what, I've never thought about that, how that can actually affect said athlete or affect a client of mine.
Hmm.
And how can this information help me to, like, maybe refer somebody to this person based on the instructor, or, you know what, I did this, let's practice and see how it's helps you. So the courses that we have are an athletic taping course by Mike Cook. He's a massage therapist and he does taping.
Nice.
So we have that course. And then we have another course which I would love to take, pelvic floor and the relationship to your oral diaphragm. So your mouth, what is that relationship there? And that's done by Tara Nickel. So I really think like pelvic floor stuff is a nuanced thing that people are really starting to see that it can be affect, not just, well, affects everyone, regardless if you're an athlete or not.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we have that. We have the sport massage course, which is on the Saturday. And then we have a big name, Anne Hartley, who is an athletic therapist. And I think she is one of like the main gods in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be teaching trunk and lower quadrant fascial change. So how to, manipulate the body from looking at it functionally instead of just segmentally.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be another one that people should really try to get to, because she's a big wig. Like, I'm not even in the AT world, but when I heard about her name or somebody was telling me that we're, you know, bringing her in, people were like, okay, yeah, she is a big time big wig. So I was like, okay, we've got her. Let's get her on the docket here. And then we have, so these are the ones that I find are thinking outside of the box, because again, at the end of the day, we're going to be dealing with athletes from various sports.
Yep.
So we have a cycling injuries and bike fading course done by Alex, and he's going to be discussing how, like, if you're an only therapist and you're working with a cycling team, how you need to fit a bike. Because they might be coming to you and be like, yo, my seat is this, or so on and so forth. And then talking about common injuries with being on a bicycle.
Nice.
So whether you are dealing with Cycling Canada or a person that loves to cycle, road cycling or indoor cycling, this would be a great course to kind of, you know, get the nitty gritties about, like, okay, how does this fit in terms of bike, what to look for,
right,
and what injuries can possibly happen with said bike. So he's pretty cool. And then we have concussions.
Connor Collins.
Concussion course by Connor Collins. And concussion is always going to be part of sport. Yep. Like it's never going away. So the more you're able to recognize the concussion and how to treat it, Connor is the man for that.
He definitely is.
So he is a full day course on Sunday. And then we have another pelvic floor with Janet, and I believe she's with, who's she with? Maybe Cycling Canada or something. I can't remember off the top of my head. So we have her talking about pelvic floor, and she's very enthusiastic about it because she's just like, this is a very important area, whether you're a male or female.
Absolutely.
This is very important area to discuss, because it can affect everything else in the body, and you don't even know that it could be a pelvic floor issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it could be life changing.
Absolutely.
So we have that. And then we have the treatment of REDS, which is now has been around the athlete world for a very long time. And with the person that's doing it, it's called Nicole. She's going to be talking about, from the old school, it is called the female athlete triad.
Right.
So how working out for hours and hours, losing your menstrual cycle, mm-hmm. losing, you know, having more injuries and like losing bone density, how to recognize the signs and the intricacies of that is another course that I think is thinking outside the box because more females are getting into sport,
right.
And there's a lot of training and there's just a lot of stuff that goes on with being an athlete, especially a female athlete when it comes to REDS. So thinking outside the box.
I like it.
And then we have I may be butchering his name, Rotam. He is anatomy and biomechanics of sprinting. So this would be another good, cool course to take because you really understand how somebody moves from point A to point B.
Very fast.
Really, really fast. Like that sport massage person that said, all sport massages is massage really, really fast. So now this is getting to understand
you think the same person would say sprinting is just
walking really
distance
fast.
Running really, really fast.
Right. Walking really, really fast. and understanding, you know, what injuries are associated with sprinting and, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth, moving through that. So, and then another big one, which I thought was pretty cool, is Parasport Perspective, which is done by Brett Nagata, and he is an athletic therapist and a physio. And because we have Claire as a speaker, I thought it would be a great adage to have somebody that's dealing with parasport and give the intricacies of how to treat the what not to say to somebody or what not to touch mm-hmm. in terms of their equipment and how to deal with a person that has said disability, whether it's a physical one or a emotional or mental disability. So I think that this course is like people should really get onto this course because I think what one area as a sport massage, well, sorry, not a sport massage therapist. You see, I'm saying it now.
My fault.
We won't tell on you.
As a sport candidate member or a fellow is that we haven't really got into the parasport world.
Mm.
Like we're always dealing with abled athlete. Like at the end of the day, they need massage too.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not like, that's one niche that I wanted to really get into where people have and understand and be like, it's okay. Yes, they may be in a wheelchair or yes, they have this or prosthetic or whatever. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, they need a massage just as anybody else. So that's one thing I want to get into too, is really trying to get into that parasport world, because at the end of the day, you might be called to do a parasport event.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And if you don't know what the heck is going on or how to deal with it, then you've got a problem.
Yeah.
This is really cool, Jillian. You do have a lot of variety here, a lot of things that really are outside of the box. And I think that might be a misconception that people have is like, oh, it's a sport massage conference, so it's going to be all sport massage. And I'll go back to what you said at the beginning. If you are a massage therapist, even if you're a massage therapist that doesn't necessarily work with athletes as in like elite athletes, a lot, if you really think about your client roster, I'm thinking of mine, a lot of them are athletes. There's novice athletes. There's, you know, yeah. high school, college athletes, whatever it is.
Beer leaguers.
Exactly. Yeah. And going to a conference like this where you actually get to be around people who understand the athletic world and taking courses in biomechanics. And I mean, I love the idea of the parasport too, because that again can transfer to different avenues, Absolutely. Not just sports, right? So mm-hmm. I think this would be a really cool learning opportunity for any therapist. And like you said, you started off your career looking at everybody as an athlete. Nike does one of Mark's favorite mission statements is Nike, because Nike believes that their apparel is for everyone, because they say if you have a body, you are an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you are treating humans and you're treating bodies, then learning stuff in the athletic world is only going to help better your practice.
Yeah, because if I'm taking that course for the biomechanics of sprinting, and let's just say I don't have a sprinter, but I have a long distance runner. At the end of the day, their race, let's say they're doing a 10K and they have 1K left and they want to get their PB.
Mm-hmm.
What they're not taking their dear time. They're really sprinting to get to that 1K and be done with it. Mm-hmm. So if I have a little bit of information that can help them mechanically and biomechanically, why wouldn't I apply that information to that person?
It just puts you in a better position to speak when you're dealing with coaches and other trainers and that type of thing. So
mm-hmm. I don't know about anybody else, but like, I don't work with professional athletes, but when I was treating very, very full time, I was similar to you, Jillian, in that I would have my patients work, you know, like if you want to really get better, and I believe you do, that's why you're here. If you want to really see improvements, then this is what we're going to do together. This is what you're going to do on your own. And I was always asking them who else was on their team. You know, if they were going to a physio or a chiro or a personal trainer, I would say to them, this is what the information I want you to bring back to that person, or better yet, give them my contact. You know, can they speak to me? And that always worked the best for me. So I loved being able to have a conversation with the trainer and them speak back to me. You know what I mean? So learning these types of things, these skills are valuable for everyone. Even if you're not doing any kind of field of play, mm-hmm. athletic work, you don't have to be. I loved just having the knowledge of sport enough that I could talk to any trainer and we could work out a treatment plan together with, you know, a client who likes to play squash on Saturdays.
What do you guys think about the person that says sports and athletics is stupid? There's so many more important things going on. Who cares about sports and athletics? Just curious. curious what you think about that
person?
What do you think about that comment? Maybe that person, they're a nice person, but that comment.
That comment that sports and athletics is stupid. There's many more things going on in the world.
Yeah.
Of course, there's many more things going on in the world, but why rob us of joy? Like, we could, there's always important things. There's always tragic things. There's always injustices. Like, all of this is always happening around us. And I'm not saying be desensitized to it, mm-hmm. but if you are on this earth and this is your one life, depending on what you believe on this earth, then I don't see a reason to only focus on the quote, the important things. Because to me, the important things are also human connection and happiness and living and enjoying the small. Like, I'm looking at a picture of an ocean with dolphins. Let me have my joy, motherfuckers.
I look at it as this way. We all move.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We all learn to walk. We all learn to crawl. We all learn to run. Some people are better at running than others, but we all know how to run. So I look at it as a standpoint of movement, not so much just sport. Like, you may not like sport, but at the end of the day, you'd have to move.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not moving properly, you're going to go to somebody and ask them, how come I'm not moving properly? And they have to have some inclination of why you're not moving, right? And that will, and that still translates to somebody that's in the sport world. So I don't know. that's just the way I think about it.
Sport to me is a microcosm of humanity. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, you've already explained this to me before, so why don't you explain it to the rest of the world?
It's a microcosm. It's a miniature version of all of humanity, where you can find so many good parts of humanity in this one thing. It unites people. It unites cultures. It unites nationalities. It brings people all together. There's a certain amount of competition and personal growth that goes along with this. Mm-hmm. There's a certain amount of
family.
Of family.
Belonging.
Belonging. Yeah. There's sportsmanship travels much beyond sport.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And to have all of these values kind of laid into this one thing, it's way more important than just it means way more than just you throw a ball.
Right.
Right. It's just huge. And I get blown away by it all the time because you see, like, you know, I might be perusing Instagram and like I've posted a couple of these things. Like I was watching like a Little League game where a batter got smoked in the head, right? Went down, rolling around on the floor. So now he's standing on first base and the pitcher is completely shaken up by this. And this kid walks over to the pitcher.
I literally
and
cried.
Gives him a fucking hug. It's like, yo, bro, like, don't worry about it. I'm okay. Like, let's you don't have to let this rattle you this much. Like things like that, man. Mm-hmm. I was watching a long distance race. It was a track race. And some dude went to grab a water bottle and it just fell out of his hand. And then the guy behind him picked up a water bottle and gave it to him. Like, do you see what I'm saying? It's like all of these pieces. It's just so, it's about something so much bigger. The next question that is, because you always hear this, what about those guys and gals that play professional sports and they make so much money? Right, they make so much money, and it's always like, well, why do you make so much money? All you're doing is throwing a ball. All you're doing is throwing a this or kicking a this. What's your response to that?
At the end of the day, everybody's some type of work. It's a job. I just happen to be doing a job that is entertaining to somebody.
I am speaking from somebody who has no idea what the life of an athlete entails. Mm-hmm. But in my imagination, there is huge sacrifice. There is massive amounts of dedication and commitment. Mm-hmm. And I don't see any sort of issue with somebody being compensated for, like, I feel like when you're a professional athlete, it's not even just a job anymore. That's like a huge part of your identity. Mm. And to dedicate your entire life and identity to something, I don't see an issue with somebody being compensated for that. There's a huge amount of pressure on you. And I mean, it goes with even like being a role model. And I know this is some people are going to be like,
I want to talk about that a little
bit. Being a role model in the sense that, you know, there's always eyes on you. There's always people watching. So it's not even just when you're at your job, you're being watched. Like you have eyes on you all the time. Mm-hmm. And that puts a whole other level of pressure. And some athletes are going to take that incredibly seriously. And they live by a certain code almost, because they know that the public is watching and they have this expectation to live up to. So do they deserve to make the money they make? I that is not for me to say.
I think you do deserve the
money. But I also don't see how it affects my life in any way. You know, like if somebody is willing to do that and put their entire life and identity into something like their sport and the dedication they put in, then you know what? If they make millions for it, cool. Good on you.
If you are a big part of why an organization turns a profit, then you should partake in some of that profit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's all there is to it. That's my answer to it. Right? If me being an athlete and playing on this team is a big reason why we win, which now translates into a larger audience, which now translates into ticket sales, into merch sales, into all the rest of it, and I'm a big player in that, then I deserve to get paid a a decent amount of
money. Let's not forget also the career span of an athlete's not the same as, you know, us desk jockeys that can work until we're 65, 70 years old doing the same thing.
So an athlete being a role model, good thing or bad thing? Should that be? Should that not be?
I don't think
Can you blame the athlete for not wanting to be?
No, not at all. I don't think it is, and I'll let Jillian speak to this because she knows athletes better than I do, but I mean, when it comes to athletes and or celebrities or, you know, anyone who's in the public eye, is it their responsibility to be a role model? No. Does that naturally fall on them? Yes. And like I said, some people are really going to take that to heart. That's going to be very important to them to not let their fans or people watching them down. And there's going to be some people who are like, I don't want to do this. This is not what I signed up for. And I mean, they're right. They signed up to be an athlete, not to be a role model. But then again, some will argue that comes along with the territory. So Jillian, what do you think of athletes being a role model? Good thing, bad thing? Do they have to be?
I think society inherently makes them that.
Absolutely.
Because everybody's looking up at something. Everybody wants to look up at something, whether it's an athlete or, you know, I want to get this next job or I want to do this. There's got to be something or somebody that they can look up to and see, you know what? Yeah, I can do it. It's a little bit different in terms of the professional athlete because they're like 1% of the whole population in terms of them being able to do what they do, right?
Yeah.
Most of the stuff is happening at the grassroots, right? But if you don't see somebody that looks like you, that's from your place, that speaks your language, that's doing this, then how can you say, well, I don't see anybody like me, so I can't achieve said stuff.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think it's at the end of the day, right? I think everybody that around you can be a potential role model, but because the athlete is in the limelight, right? People automatically say you have to be a role model because you have this ability. You have the ability to skill. You have the ability to affect more people than, let's say, it was me,
mm-hmm.
right? Your name is obviously the guiding light into being who you are being. Because if LeBron James didn't have the name LeBron James, nobody would know who he is.
I think it also goes to the hard work aspect of it. Like when you've got a professional athlete, you just know that. Yes. Okay. Of course, as you said, Jillian, there's like 1% that actually have sort of this God-given talent that they're either going to use or not use. But the ones that do make it to the big leagues, the ones that are the professionals, like they've put so much hard work and dedication into it that I think that society would just be disappointed. And you know, nobody likes to feel like their mom is disappointed with them. Like the world would just be disappointed if you didn't live up to this ideal that we have of you, that you are this hardworking, dedicated, like machine of a person. And I want to be just like you. And if I work hard, I can be just like you. So if somebody who we look at as a role model ends up being, you know, maybe a hardcore partier and doesn't seem to put too much work in and comes across as being less than dedicated, then yeah, it's like disappointing to people that were looking up to them. Is it their responsibility, Mark? No. Hmm. But you can see why a lot of athletes are, of course, going to take that to heart and make it their responsibility.
Well, I get it, because you are in a position of influence and you have a platform. And so I can see that there is a pressure to use your platform and influence to affect some positive change.
Mm-hmm.
But I also get it if you don't, because I'm just a dude that does this job and you raise your fucking kids. Do you know what I mean?
I think athletes naturally, though, because they are just really hardworking, I don't think we have as big of an issue with them. I mean, celebrities, that's a whole other story. They should not be role models.
No. Celebrities are hardworking too, like for the most part.
Well, it's a different craft.
Yeah.
It's different.
Right? It's just different. Like, like in a typical day, they're probably waking up at what, 4 o'clock in the morning. They got to know all of their lines. And if they mess up, we're starting over. You got to know the nuances of the character. You really need to study the character, and then you got to become that character, and then you got to put it translated on screen. So
Yep.
Would I want to do that? I don't know. I don't.
By the way, this whole conversation, the only celebrity I've been thinking of is Cardi B. That's
the bottom line is, you can't get to and sustain a certain level, whether it's sport, whether it's acting, whether it's music, if you're not good.
Yep.
Right? You might get there by fluke. Say you're on American Idol and you got the chops and you get thrown into a scenario, but sustainability, that's a whole other story.
You gotta be good.
To stay there, you have to have some skill, you have to have some talent. And to be honest with you, I was never a pop music guy. I was never even a Michael Jackson guy. Like I enjoyed Michael Jackson music, but then I saw his documentary before he died. I can't remember what it was called, but it was a documentary about putting together that tour.
Right, yeah.
And that's when I stopped and I realized, this motherfucker works, and he is one talented dude. The ease of which he gets up on stage and the vision that he has for his show and how he throws it all together and how he can... I'm like, you are the definition of professional. And that's talent right there. There's not many people that can get up and just do what you do and then also make it seem so fucking effortless. Mm-hmm. Like that's all talent, and that's hard work, and that's dedication. It's not a fluke. It's not a fluke. It blows me away all the time. Blows me away. People blow me away, and I love that shit. I mean, even when you post that stuff about massage, sport massage being just a fast massage, I'm blown away by it. So I'm blown away by everything.
Doesn't take much, Mark. Well, Jillian, for people who are listening, who are now thinking, I never really thought that a sport massage conference could be for me.
I was preaching this I taught a cupping course today, and it's still happening tomorrow. We've got two brand new, maybe just over a year old certified athletic therapists in the group. I'm like, you guys need to check out this conference.
Yeah.
You need to go to this conference.
He was pushing it hard in the class today. But I mean, tomorrow we will tell everybody they should go. Actually, majority of the therapists that are in this cupping class these 2 days have been in practice 1 to 2 years. So I feel like they're all really hungry to get more education. And so for anyone listening who really hadn't thought of this as being for them, but maybe now are looking at it a little differently, can you give us either a website or contact information? How can they get involved?
Yes. So the website is ontario.csmta.ca. And you just click on the events tab and it will have the conference, all the information that you need in terms of the bios of the instructors, our discussion panelists, the schedule for the days. So it has all the information about everything that you need to know. And there is on the website at the bottom of the main page is our chapter email, which is ontariochapter@csmta.ca. And then if there's any questions about anything, then you can always email the chapter and ask your questions. And it's for everybody. Everybody is welcome to come. It's just not massage. Nice. Like chiros, physios, osteos, reflexologists, everybody, students, like the student price for this event is unbelievable, like unbelievable for them. So everybody is welcome. We will take everybody with open arms, because at the end of the day, we want to affect as many people and blow their minds a little bit and be like, oh, I never really thought about that. Okay. Now I'm thinking about it a little bit differently.
Well, I'm really excited that we're coming. We were counting down the days. We're going to be there, like I said, shooting video, taking pictures. We're going to do some interviews. I think everybody should come join us. It's going to be a party in Niagara Falls, November 17th to 19th. We're doing it.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Thanks for hanging out tonight. This has been good.
Well, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
You guys have been listening to Two Massage Therapists in a Microphone. Peace.